Thank you very much, Pastor, for allowing me to take this awesome responsibility to share what God has put on our hearts in the study of James. If you have your Bible, you can turn to James chapter 3. We're going to look at the first 12 verses, which I think are extremely, extremely difficult. I mean, so confrontive. And as I read through it, you might pick up the attitude of the writer. It's not a happy attitude. In fact, as I've read through it and studied it, I sense that James was very angry when he took up the subject of how we use our tongue. Do any of you have trouble with your tongue? Yeah. Let's read it. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged by God by a greater strictness. We all make many mistakes, but those who control their tongues also can also control themselves in every other way. We can make a large horse turn around and go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a tiny rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot wants it to go, even though the winds are strong. So also the tongue is a small thing, but what enormous damage it can do. A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and the tongue is a flame of fire. It is full of wickedness that can ruin your whole life. It can turn the entire course of your life into a blazing flame of destruction, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is an uncontrollable evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it breaks out in curses against those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Can you pick olives from a fig tree or figs from a grapevine? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty pool. Take a deep breath. Very confrontive. And there's so much that I could say about this passage. But I think the Lord has put on my heart two very specific principles and ideas. And I hope that I have the time to share with you these. Pastor said, when I showed him my notes, he said, "You have an hour's worth." And I didn't believe it until I added up each of the sections that I wanted to talk about, and it came out to 58 minutes. So, first of all, I'm in a tough place because I've taken on the responsibility of teaching. And he says, you really shouldn't pursue that because when you teach, you're going to be held to a higher standard. But that's true in every situation in which God puts us in a position to teach, to demonstrate truths and principles of life, particularly the Father. God calls upon men to lead their families, to be an example, to speak truth, speak to their children in such a way that their children's lives have purpose and meaning and direction. I've done a lot of counseling over the years of my ministry. There was a time when I was up on the Czechoslovakian border when I had the responsibility of being a chaplain for the unit I was assigned to, plus the community, all the dependents. And I would counsel maybe 15 people a day. And one of the sad stories that so many of them told was either that their father was absent or what they spoke to their children was detrimental. So many of them testified to a relationship with their father that was hurtful. The father would often say to their son, "You're stupid. You won't amount to anything. I can't depend on you, and nobody can depend on you. You are a failure." And that would set the course for that young man's life. Many of their wives also had that kind of experience where their father would call them names, would label them, would not express the beauty of their daughter, but would talk about their failings and shortcomings and even their ugliness. What a shame that fathers who have the privilege of setting a course for their children speak in such ways that literally labels their children and even sets a curse upon their life, that the children struggle from then on out to overcome and try to prove their parent wrong. We are held accountable to a high standard, and that standard is something that we need God's help. We need His wisdom. We need His guidance. We need His training. We need to be confronted with our weaknesses and our shortcomings and learn how to depend upon God to cleanse us of these tendencies that want to find fault, want to tear down, want to criticize. What kind of help is available to us? I think there are three specific helps that God has given us. It gives us control over our tongue. First of all, He's given us the privilege of having a changed heart. Did you know that Jesus said to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John these words: "Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life"? So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. Sometimes we are confronted with the need for a new beginning. The old habits, the old patterns that maybe we learned from our fathers becomes the way we relate to others. And so that pattern is so deeply ingrained, it just kind of flows out of us without even thinking. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, there's the possibility of being born again, having a new beginning, experiencing a new life. This possibility of having a changed heart is so important. Jesus said to the Pharisees who criticized Him and His ministry, who found fault with all that Jesus did, He said to them one day, "You brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. So if we're going to change our language, if we're going to cut down greatly on the things that we say to people that are hurtful, things that we say to our children that wound and scar them, we have to have a changed heart. So if you're struggling with your language, if you find it difficult to compliment, if you find it difficult to build up, you need a changed heart. And that's a possibility for you today. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, if you've never asked Him to change what's really inside, He's here today by His Spirit to change your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. If you want to know whether or not your heart has changed, check your language, James is saying. Check your language. That's the indicator of what's really going on in your heart. I'm so thankful today that our hearts can be changed. We can be different. Our language can be different because He plants within us His very life. The words that Jesus spoke were life. And we can speak life as well when our hearts are changed. The second thing that I believe that God can do for us to change the way we communicate is by placing ourselves under the control of the Holy Spirit. It is not unusual for those who have been born again, they still have problems with their language. Oftentimes, I've heard men and women that I know are born again, still having problems with words that flow out of them. At times of stress or disappointment or offense. So I say to you, it's more than being just born again. It's literally making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, and He comes in and takes control even of your tongue by what the church calls the baptism with the Holy Spirit. You can be filled with the Spirit. And one of the indicators that He is indeed filling you is that He changes your language. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And then what looked like flames of tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Then, this was specific, beautiful demonstration of the fact that these people, the 120 on that day of Pentecost, were filled with the Spirit and that He had taken control, because out of their mouth came a new language. Language that were understood by people from 19 different regions of the Middle East. The dialects that they had learned as children, they heard these simple believers in Jerusalem speaking their language. And I believe that that's available for us today, that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit and we can speak words of life. We can bring glory to God. We can encourage one another with words that flow out of us through the indwelling fullness of God's Spirit. Did you know that today you can join this group that on that first day of Pentecost and speak a new language. You don't have to, but that's available to you and to me to participate in what God has done through the centuries of pouring out His Spirit upon people, and they speak a new language. The people heard them praising God, and they heard enough that 3,000 men and women on that day accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Talk about a powerful communication, a powerful demonstration of God at work in the life of the believer. I believe that God wants to pour out His Spirit upon the church today. This whole idea of speaking in tongues has separated so many people. I was raised in a conservative Baptist home where my father had no hesitation saying that those who speak in tongues are full of the devil. Little did he know that most of his 7 children would eventually have that experience and see how God used us to affect many lives. And he backed off and he said, that couldn't be the devil. That had to be the Lord. That experience is available for you today. I'll be happy to pray with you. If you've never experienced the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that's available, and I'll be glad to pray with you. And there are others here who will pray with you to receive that experience. There is a third way for us to deal with our language issues, and that is through prayer and the study of scriptures. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 7, 5 through 7, Isaiah writes, then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. He was having an experience with God. He understood that he is in God's presence, and it was a powerful, powerful experience. He said, I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among a people with filthy lips. Sounds like today. Yet I've seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal he had taken from the altar with prayer thong. He touched my lips with it and said, see, this coal has touched your lips. Now your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven. A personal experience with God changes us. It purifies our language. The more we pray, the more we spend time in His presence, and the more time we spend in His Word, it changes our vocabulary. It changes the way we talk. We can't spend time talking with the Lord and then turn around and talk to our family, talk to our friends with vulgarities and curses. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't work. So if you have problems with your language, spend time in His Word. I challenge you, if you do not have a specific time each day that you set aside to meet with the Lord and spend a few moments in His Word, maybe even using a devotional, if you're not regularly doing that, you're missing out. You're trying to sit on a two-legged stool. One of the precious memories I have of growing up in the Kelso family was that when we were young and Mom and Dad had already 6 kids, I was third in line. But every night, Dad would gather the kids around him. I can see him sitting on this big stuffed chair with wide arms, armrests. And so we would gather around him, some sitting on his lap, some sitting on the armrests. And he had this big book. It was called Egemeyer's Bible Study, Bible Stories. And he would read a Bible story to us and then pray over each of us. I believe that was fundamental to the development of my spiritual life. Every one of our children, his children, are serving the Lord in some capacity or have in the past. And I praise God for that, that he established a pattern. Dad wasn't perfect. He said some things to me that scarred my self-image. And I had to deal with that. My mother also said things that were not pleasant, that hurt. But God has dealt with that. Dad wasn't perfect, but he cared and he loved us. He grew up in a situation where to express love or even to cry or to admit fault was forbidden. He was of that era that said if a man cried or expressed his love, it was a sign of weakness. I was raised in a family where if one of us did something well, the parent, and for instance, if I came home and I said that I had made an accomplishment at school, mom or dad would say right away, "Well, that's fine, but..." And then they would point to some other of the kids and comment on how well they did. They never once said, "I'm proud of you. I think you're great. You're doing so well." None of these words, because they believed that, so to speak, was to build a sense of pride. And pride was one of the seven deadly sins. So they thought they were doing well, but it always bothered me that I never heard my dad say, "I'm proud of you." Maybe you have scars as well. Maybe you've heard things as you have grown up that have wounded you, have been a part of your struggle for direction and for purpose and meaning in your life. Let me say to you that there is a way of dealing with that. God has given us the ability to forgive. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and His Word, we can forgive. When I lost my finger in a milling accident after I came back from the military the first time, after my enlistment, I was working in a mill and I backed into a bark conveyor. And it grabbed my hand and then crushed my arm. I only have half a muscle and I only have four fingers. It's the way I tease kids. Don't pick your nose. It gets stuck and then they have to take it off. They get big eyes. Anyway, I had I had a choice to make. That choice was either I could sue the company for negligence in assigning me a task that was so dangerous, or I would take the workman's compensation for the loss of this finger. That would have given me $272 plus one visit to the emergency room. Or if I waited If I rejected that and sued the company, I could probably get a minimum of $5,000. And that was in 1968, where $5,000 was a lot more than it would be today. I was waiting at home for a man to come with the paperwork to sign or to reject. And as I saw him walking up the sidewalk to the house, the Holy Spirit said to me, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth." So when he came in, I said I would accept the workman's compensation. The problem was, my dad had said, if you sue the company, and he worked as one of the leaders in that large mill complex there in Eugene, if I had sued the company, he said, I will disown you, because you will bring discredit upon my name. But the Holy Spirit said, wait a minute. You don't need the money, you need your father. You need to honor your father. That's the way of peace in life. So I honored him, but I had a whole lot of trouble forgiving him for what he said. Just after I had signed the paperwork accepting the compensation, a young fella lost the tip of his finger, and he got $10,000 from the same company. But the Holy Spirit said, trust me. So I needed to forgive my father, just like you may need to forgive your father for past wounds. There is a process that God has given us to really find true forgiveness. When you are offended, it means that something has been taken away from you. And our response is either to take it back, try to get even, or to just hold on to it and nurture what is lost. Most of young men are wounded when their sense of value and importance, their adequacy is robbed from this. Many, many of us men struggle with a sense of adequacy. Am I man enough? We can do 100 things right and then fail once, and we're right back to square one. We have to start over building our sense of adequacy. You ladies may not understand that, because that's not your problem. Your problem is feeling safe and secure in your relationships. And that's where maybe your parent has deeply wounded you by pushing you away or treating you in such a way as to demean you. Many, many women are violated in their youth. And that is so damaging, because it says, I care more about me than you. Fathers, brothers, other significant people wound the women. And they always then struggle with a sense of safety and security, never really trusting the relationship. Men, you build the confidence in your daughters by loving on them, treating them with respect, valuing their personhood, commenting on their beauty, and you're valuing their womanhood. That's so, so vital. And if that hasn't happened, your daughters are missing something very significant. And so they may go out and look for that affirmation somewhere else, and it can always lead to heartache and pain. What I'm asking you to do this morning, if there is that kind of wound in your heart, if your father or your mother has taken something from you that is important, your sense of safety or your sense of adequacy and your value, then let me assure you of this promise. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, Paul writes, "Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God." He doesn't like what's happened to you. He doesn't like the fact that you've been ripped off. But he says, the scriptures say, "I will take revenge. I will pay them back," says the Lord. "Vengeance is mine," says the Lord. "I will repay." And the way I've read this over the years is God knows how to take care of the perpetrator. He can deal with that person who has deeply wounded you. He doesn't need your help. It amazes me over the years to hear people talk about getting even with a parent who is already dead. Does that make sense? But the other part of that, I will repay. If you have been ripped off, if you have been demeaned, if you've been robbed of something very significant and important in importance in your life, God will make up the difference. He will supply what has been taken. And can you trust Him to make it up? Can you trust Him to satisfy that deep longing? Through the new birth, through being born again and being filled with the Spirit and spending time in His Word and fellowship with other believers, God can heal those deep wounds. He can satisfy the longing of your heart. He can raise you up like a parent can never raise you up. He can satisfy that deepest need. Will you trust Him to do that? Will you trust Him to satisfy that longing? Or will you continue to seek it in some other source? To forgive means to cancel the debt. Let it go. Let it go and give God a chance to heal those wounds. So I challenge you then to be born again, filled with the Spirit, and committed to time with the Lord on a daily basis. And those wounds will heal. This wound healed in 2 weeks. Never had to go back to the doctor. That's the way it looked at 2 weeks. Because God had a plan, and He's used that wound to remind me that I belong to Him. Those wounds that you have received can become a great testimony to God's grace at work in your life. Let us pray. Father, we just ask You in Jesus' name to heal wounds, the deepest kinds of wounds. Lord, I pray that You would just baptize those who are suffering from mistreatment to abuse, or from abuse of a parent, to be healed right now in the name of Jesus. May Your Holy Spirit minister. And Lord, those who are hungry for more of You, who want victory over those things that have tripped them up over the years, things that they have said and done, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would heal. Fill us, Lord, afresh with Your Holy Spirit. Renew us today in our walk with You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you to Glenn. I want to take just a minute and do one more thing. And if the Lord spoke to your heart today, maybe about the way you use your tongue, and boy, I need some help. Or maybe it has to do with Holy Spirit, I'm open to anything you have for me, whatever it may happen to be. Or it may be that the Lord has spoken to you today about some area of your life where you need to move forward in forgiveness. You know, we get stuck and we don't move forward in it, but you need to move forward in forgiveness. If the Lord's touched you or spoken to you in one of those three ways, would you just stand where you're at? Just stand. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm not going to, call on you or embarrass you, but you know what the Lord's touching your heart about. Anybody else? Don't be bashful. Yeah. Lord, thank you. There's some that are standing right now. There's some at home that are responding, that recognize they need your help with their tongue. And I pray, Father, for them, the prayer that David prayed, that you'd put a guard over their mouth that they might not sin against you. Continue to do the transforming work in their heart that you want to do. And Lord, that you would rearrange, and as Ecclesiastes 36 says, you would put a new heart inside of us. Others, Lord, are open to the work of your Holy Spirit, and they're saying, bring it on, Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do, whatever you need to do in my life. I want to grow. I want to move forward. I want to be all that you want me to be. Lord, we pray, pour your Spirit down upon them. And then others, maybe you're standing because someone has said something to them, someone has done something to them, and they are holding on to a grudge. Father, teach them how to release that grudge and to release and forgive in such a way that then their hands are open and they're able to receive all the forgiveness that you have for them. So, Lord, continue to do exactly what you're wanting to do in each one that stood, in those that didn't stand because of whatever reason, and those that are online at home or will be later in the week. Minister by the power of your Spirit. Lord, we constantly ask you to continue to transform us. Amen? Amen. There's going to be some folks up here that would love to pray with people. Don't leave here without getting prayed for if you came hoping someone would pray with you. So God bless you. Thanks for being here today.